quite a complicated affair too, isn't it? You'd have to have your papers to
Well, it looks kind of bad at the beginning, but actually it isn't once you get used to running it. Well, Chester, I wonder if we could talk probably about your grandfather, which was the, I think it's just wonderful that you knew him as well.
Well,
how old were you now? Do you always remember him?
Oh yeah, from my earliest years. I can remember him since I was between 4 and 5, I suppose, first.
Oh.
Probably closer to 4. I have a pretty good memory, you know.
Yeah.
Things like that.
4 and 5. And then he was always around then with you.
Well, he went away in the summer, usually up the Pelly River prospecting. That was one of his favorite stamping grounds. But he'd come back in the winters, you know, usually. And he was around quite a bit at times.
What was he like? I mean, how would you describe him if you were describing him to someone? What did he look like?
Well, he was a tall fellow. He never was inclined to be fleshy, you know.
No.
He was tall and raw-boned. And he always wore a mustache, just like in that picture. Only he was older looking when I remember him. It was pretty white. And he usually wore a big flat-brimmed Stetson, I remember he always had tattoos on his wrists. I guess that was from his sailoring days. I can remember these blue tattoos. They were kind of star-shaped.
He was a sailor in his
early
days.
Oh, yeah, he had been a sailor for a number of years. On these wind jammers, you know.
Well.
And, I liked him awful well. He used to take me around, you know. And he'd take me to town with him, and I remember once there was one of the steamers in here. I was awful small then, probably about the size of Keith. And it was down, you know, at the dock. And he knew the steamboat captains. And I remember he took me on board the steamer. Boy, I was interested in that. He had me by the hand. And I remember, I guess it was the captain. It was some man in a uniform anyway. And the captain said, "Don't let the boy get into anything." I can remember that, you know.
Is that really? Did he talk about his discovery to you a great deal?
No, I can't remember anything like that.
He didn't, eh?
No.
He never talked about it all as you grew older.
Well, he might have talked, but maybe it didn't register in me at the time. But he had me, he took me around a lot, you know.
Did
I liked him
all. Was he embittered at all about the way it turned out, do you know?
No, I've never heard him say himself.
You haven't, eh?
No. He probably was, you know, but I can't remember him saying anything.
What difference do you think it would have made to his life now if he had discovered that bonanza?
It might not have made too much.
He was a prospector at
heart, wasn't he? I think he liked to roam around anyway.
He did. Even if he found it, he'd have kept going.
I don't think he would have stayed put anyway.
Because
he liked to get out in the hills, you know.
Yeah. And how did he start out here then? Whatever persuaded him to get going?
Well, tells a little in that book. But I guess he had this notion for coming north for quite a few years, you know, especially after he got into Colorado, I think.
That's where he first heard about this. Well, he was in early in that, wasn't he?
Well, I don't think he probably got too much interest until he got into Colorado. See, that was a mining country there. And then that probably got him more interested, I think.
Well, where did he live when he was in Dawson then? Is his house still around
yes,
here?
Yes, I'll tell you the house, the old original house that was his home and his wife's, my grandmother's. Do you remember where Hanulik's tore down, that Kunze house up in the hill where they built their new
house? Oh, yes.
That was the original old house.
Oh, was it? That
quite
was
a landmark, that house.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What a pity.
That was the original house there.
It's torn down to
something. So it's all demolished now.
Oh.
That was one of the oldest houses in town, I think.
Was it really? What about those two little log cabins? And that must be the place where they're mixed up about being where he lived then.
When he
first came to the country.
Those two log cabins that are kind of up in that sandbank, you know. Those are very old.
They are, right?
Yeah. We lived there for a while, a long time ago, and I was awful small in one of them. And the other cabin that is still there was an old logger lived in it. He was a real old-timer. His name was Hughie Monahan.
Oh.
Good Irish name. And My grandfather, though, he lived further up in the hill.
Oh, did
You
he?
know, you can look further up in the hill if you ever go up that trail
Yes.
that goes kind of around the bluff. I haven't been up for years, but there was a trail there, and there was a kind of a shelf that was scraped
Oh,
up with
yeah. Oh,
rocks
yeah.
right up
Well,
there.
that's where it was. Yeah, we hiked
Yeah,
up there quite
I
often.
guess it's
That's
all
good.
torn down now. I'll have to
Oh.
look and check up. I know it's torn down though.
Oh. Well, then he was married, then when he came in here, was he Chester?
Oh
He was, eh?
yeah.
Well, then when did he bring your grandmother in then?
He went back a few years later, I think, and I think it was in 1903.
Oh, and then he
I
brought
think in
her.
that book it says 1906, but I heard my dad say that he came in 1903.
Your father was a little boy then. He wasn't
Well,
born
he
here
was
then,
a
eh?
young fellow then,
Oh.
probably 18 or so, I think, something like that. He was the
Oh.
oldest of the family, see,
Yeah.
my dad. The others were younger.
And then what did your grandfather do in later years here then?
Well, he got a pension, you know, from Ottawa. I think it was $300 a month. They figured he had a lot to do, you know, with getting things started here, and they gave him this pension, and he spent a lot of time every summer. One of his main prospecting grounds was the Pelly River, you know.
He was still
And
looking for gold, eh?
he discovered Henderson Creek, of course.
Yes.
That was after the discovery here.
Not being nosy, but did he do quite well actually in his mining?
N not too well financially. I mean, he discovered another creek up the Pelly called Cassie Creek, but it was so far away and everything that I don't think he ever realized really very much from that. And as far as Henderson Creek goes, I don't know if he ever had any ground there that he actually got money from, you know, like turning it over or anything
Yeah.
to sell. No, he did a lot of kind of opening up in the country, but he didn't come out financially on the top or anything, which is often the way, I
Yeah.
guess.
Well, then you were born here, then were you in Dawson?
Yeah,
Or were you?
yeah.
Oh, what, how far back do you remember Dawson? What was it like your earliest remembrance of the place in comparison to what it is
Well,
now, Chester?
I guess it was dying down a lot when I remembered, but it was an awful lot livelier, for sure.
Yeah.
I can remember so many different stories, you know, and everything.
I suppose so,
Yeah,
eh?
like even down the south end there where we lived, there were stores and hotels that I can even remember when I was a small kid, you know. There was one big hotel there, you know where Victor Matander lives?
Oh, yes.
Right there. It
Yeah.
was called the Broadway.
Oh, is that it, eh?
And where Cayley's old store is there, you know his old store? That was the Palace Bakery.
For goodness sake.
And then right across from it was the Boss Bakery. And Huxford's Variety Store. And oh, all kinds of stores around there.
Well,
I can remember a lot of them.
then, were you here when they had that dairy out there where that woman used to bring
Oh,
the.
Bella Monroe.
Yeah, what
Oh,
did
they
she
were her.
do?
They were her. She was our neighbor when we
Oh.
lived to when we moved to Gooeyville. I was 6 years old then.
And how far now would that be where her little farm be?
Well, that was right. I'll tell you exactly where it was. You know where McRae and Manser's place is?
Yeah.
Just straight up the road as you go to Collison's Airport. Oh, about 100 yards from where you turn into McRae's. It was right there.
And there was a little farm there, eh?
Yeah, it's
Well,
all dredged.
how many cows would she have?
She had about half a dozen all the time when I remember. She had a very good horse. His name was Star. He was one of these pacers.
Oh,
He was a real pacer, and she used to deliver the milk in this buggy, you know. She was quite a person, this Mrs. Monroe. Have you ever heard much about her?
just her name, that's all, and she delivered
She was
milk.
from the Ottawa Valley originally. She'd
Oh.
come from back east there. And she was in that business for years. I remember once we had an awful cold winter at Gougieville when I was small, and she was pretty hard up, you know, and she always paddled her own canoe, and she was awful independent. But my dad, he got worried about her, and she was only down there about a quarter of a mile below Gougieville where she lived, and he went down and he wanted to see how she was making out, 60 below, you know, and for two or three weeks there, it never broke. When he came back, I remember him telling my mother about it. He went down and he went in to see her, and he asked her if, you know, she needed anything. We knew her well. He knew she was awfully independent, though, and so she said no, and he said, how are you fixed for wood? Well, she said, my good man, if I get short of wood, I'll go out and cut it. He got quite a kick out of that. He said you couldn't do anything with her, but she was that tight.
Well,
she was self-reliant.
Yeah. Well, how did she come in the country alone, did she?
She came in over the trail, I think.
Did she, by herself?
Yeah.
And start up a little farm?
Yeah. Mrs. Kunze came in over the trail, too, you know. She walked over the Chilkoot Pass.
For heaven's sake, lived in this house up here.
Well,
then how old was your grandfather then when he left here, Chester? Was he quite elderly? Where did he go
from
here?
He went to Victoria, I think, from here. And I think he hadn't been in here, well, for two or three years, I'd say, and then he died. He made one trip back in on a prospecting trip by plane.
Did he?
With another fellow. And they went up the Pelly River somewheres, and shortly after that he died. But he didn't get down to Dawson that trip.
Didn't he? How did he feel about Dawson? Did he like the place, or?
Oh, I think he liked this country.
He did, eh?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Did he think there was more to it than what was there?
Oh, I think he did. Yeah.
What did he believe about it?
Well, I think he figured there was still some good mineral finds to be made here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was that type. He was optimistic almost.
Yeah. Did he travel alone quite a bit then? Was he mostly on his own?
Yeah, quite a bit, but he had a partner for many years. Bill Forbes. Did you ever hear of Bill Forbes?
No, I don't think I have, no.
Well, Billy, he came from Colorado with him after he went out the second time.
Mm-hmm.
He was quite a bit younger, my grandfather, and he was partners for quite a few years with him. They roamed along this country.
Did he keep papers, or have you any of his effects or anything?
I have a few of those old mining grants and his ship's discharge paper, one old one, 1876 or something.
Isn't that right, eh?
As an able seaman, when and things like that, you know. But I haven't got too many other papers, old bills and things, you know.
But no letters or anything that he...
Not too many letters.
He didn't keep a journal or anything about his discovery, eh?
No, not exactly a journal. I have a kind of a description of one or two of his trips. But I haven't got a diary or anything like that.
I just won't suppose he'd have time, would he, to keep it up?
Be kind of awkward, probably, when you're in the bush, you know.
Sure it would. Well, then, did you travel around as a youngster? I mean, did you live at Grand Forks or anything? You've often mentioned Grand Forks. And
well, I never lived there, but I was—I used to be up and down there a lot with my dad, especially. That was when I was old, from Keith's age on up.
Sorry, about 3 years old?
I can't remember 3 years, but I can remember things from, I'd say, about 4 years.
Well, what was Grand Forks then, as you remember it?
Well, I guess it wasn't too lively then, but I remember quite a few old-timers living around there.
Yeah.
And there was a roadhouse going then, one that I remember.
Mm-hmm.
There was a fellow by the name of Luke. I don't know what his last name, Randy. He had a big walrus tusk mustache, this Luke. And he ran the roadhouse that was up there then.
Oh, yeah.
But there was another fellow. He had the Royal Oak. It was one of the last roadhouses there. But he really wasn't running it actively then. He'd take people for the night, but he was quite an old character. That was Scotty Collins, Bulldog Scotty.
Oh. Did your grandfather have any, I mean, like around these roadhouses, was he a card player, or did he have any particular hobbies, or what was he?
No, I don't think he gambled much. He'd take a drink, but he wasn't a drunkard or anything.
No.
He could seem to handle it, but he'd take a drink.
Yeah.
But I don't think he was a gambling man.
Was he a reader, or?
I remember he used to get the National Geographic magazine.
Right,
I remember looking at them when I was pretty small.
Uh-huh.
He subscribed to that regular.
Well, did he keep a lot of mining papers, or did he read mining papers and the like?
I guess he probably did. You know, Geographic took my eye because it had lots of pictures in it, you know.
Sure.
I could look at them before I could read, see. But I imagine he probably read other literature too, more than likely.
Then his home was out in Vancouver then when he died?
Yeah, he was, he had kind of more or less moved out there. He was getting kind of old, you know. Like a lot of the old timers, they kind of head towards the coast.
How old was
years.
He then when he died? When was that now?
I think he was 72, as far as I remember, when he died.
Yeah. And when was that, 19?
Well, let's see. I'd be about 14 when he died. I'm 44 now. That'd be 30 years ago. That's pretty close. I think I was 14.
Oh, is that when it was, eh?
Yeah, that'd be in about 1930, 31, somewhere
yeah, that's
in there,
right,
32.
Yeah. Oh. That seems such a pity, you know, that there's so little, you know, left around.
Yeah.
Well, who did that painting that you have of him? Do you know?
Well, that isn't a painting. That's a photograph.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I've never examined it too closely.
Yeah, I had that fixed up from a photograph.
Did you? I've noticed one or two around. I just wondered.
George Shaw's one.
Yeah?
He's seen mine, see, and he asked me if he could have a copy of it, so he has one.
Oh.
But that was just from a private photograph that we had in the family, see.
You don't have many other pictures in
there? I have a few, yeah. Yeah, I have a few.
How did your grandmother feel about all this? I wonder if she felt, you know, wondered about him missing out on the real big strike from a woman's viewpoint. Did she share his interest in this? Or?
I guess she must have. I can't remember her at all.
Oh, you don't?
No,
eh?
She was dead, see. She died before I can remember. I think about the year I was born she died.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I
what
can't
did your
remember.
Father, did he talk to your father very much about it? Did your father?
Oh, my dad, of course, was wholeheartedly in favor of that sort of thing. I mean, he really backed my grandfather to the hilt.
Right,
I think even more so than most of the family. He was behind him 100%.
Well, he'd be a fair-sized boy when he came up here then, would he?
Yeah, he was about 18 or 20, something like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
And he thought it was a good idea to come in here.
Oh,
it's strange
yeah.
He didn't come with him.
Well, I think he had to stay home and help support the family.
Oh,
they couldn't
my.
All leave.
Oh,
my dad
yeah.
worked in the silver mines when he was very young. He started.
Uh-huh.
And I guess times weren't too good if they all went away.
Uh-huh.
See, my grandfather wouldn't be making too much roaming around looking
no.
for mines. It was all he could do.
Did he
probably
ever make
to...
any good size strikes or anything? Or?
Well... Yes, I guess he got some of the first, what you'd call, real pay in the Bonanza and Klondike district, you know, on Gold Bottom, see. It wasn't fabulously rich, but it was pay. But I suppose most of that was eaten up with all his expenses at
yeah.
the moment, you know.
Yeah. Did you ever know Carmax? Did you ever
no,
see him or anything?
I can't remember him.
He'd gone,
I was too late for him.
Oh, did your father ever speak of him or know him or... Have
I don't know whether Carmack
him?
Was still here or not.
Oh.
I think he had probably left. I think he left pretty early, you know.
Yeah, see, I know in one
you
account...
You know what year he left?
Well, he went out once in 99, but
yeah.
I don't
well,
know whether he came back.
I don't know whether he came back either. See, my dad wouldn't have known him if he...
No.
Prior to 1903.
Oh, well, that's right.
See,
didn't
that
know.
Was when he came in, I think.
Well, then your mother and father lived right here all the time, did they, Chester?
Yeah, they made their home.
Oh, did they?
They lived in Bonanza for quite a while. And
oh.
Then in Dawson. And
up
Boogieville.
Near where the Discovery was?
They lived at Six Below for quite a while.
Is that right?
That
eh?
Was just...
less than a mile down,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, pretty close to Discovery. Then they lived in El Dorado. 10 El Dorado.
Did you live up the creeks then as a youngster? And
no, that was just before I was born when they spent their time in Bonanza and El Dorado.
But he was a miner too, wasn't he?
No, at that time he was working for the Googies. He was clean-up man. And he was stationed up there.
Oh,
they had dredges on Bonanza.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Well, then you say he was in the dredges here at Googieville, was he?
Well, he was clean-up man on the dredges. In later years, he used to travel around the different creeks.
Well, that means that he'd pick up the mats, would he, and take the gold out and
yeah, yeah. clean up on the dredges.
Well, how'd they manage in the end, like before they had trucks and things to...
Horse and buggy.
Did they? Just
and he told me that he had a driving horse of his own. It was a mare called Kit, and he'd even go over to Gold Run, see with her.
How far is that?
Oh, that's 50 miles from
Is that right, eh?
50 or 60 miles. And he'd make trips over there, and he told me he never packed a gun. He said he figured that was the quickest way to get shot if you had a cleanup. I guess he was right.
How much money would he bring out then on one of these trips?
I don't know. I've heard him talk about it too, quite a bit.
He'd bring it out in nugget form, would he, in the pokes?
No. They'd bring it out in amalgam mostly. The gouge cleaned up with amalgam with quicksilver.
Oh.
And it would be in a mass of wet amalgam, see?
Yeah.
And they'd have it in these amalgam buckets like I have in that old
museum. Those tall, circular buckets.
Yeah, that's
buckets.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
They'd have, I don't know how many they'd pack, it depended on the size of the cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would refine or melt that down at Googleville, see?
He'd be carrying a few thousand dollars in gold.
Oh, yeah, more than a few thousand.
Is that right?
Quite a few thousand, in fact.
I wonder how much.
I don't know. One of those amalgam buckets, if it was fairly dry amalgam, it holds a lot.
Around 30 pounds or so?
Oh, more than that. More
than that. Oh, one of those bricks is 30 pounds, isn't it?
Yes.
$10,000 they're worth, aren't they? Well, and he'd come out of there sometimes with close to, say, $200,000 or so.
Well, I'd hate to just quote it exactly, but he came out of there with quite a bit, you know.
And he'd be alone with this little buggy and horse? And just keep loading it in the back and going around the dredge, you see?
Well, he had different runs, I know. He went both in Bonanza and Gold Run, so that showed he went in different directions.
And he'd be all alone?
Usually, as far as I know. I don't think they ever had a guard.
Well, then where would they, did they ship it in that state too, or did they make it into bricks?
No, they'd make it into bricks at Googleville.
At Googleville, they had their own gold room there, didn't
they? Just like Bear Creek.
Oh.
Too bad Googleville isn't still standing.
Yes. Well, you mentioned these sawed-off shotguns. Now, what, those belong to the company, did they?
They belong to the Guggenheims.
Oh.
They had an arsenal of arms in the gold room. I remember when I was a kid seeing them there, see. They had the sawed-off shotguns. They had a gun rack.
Right in the gold room?
Yeah. Oh. And they had the sawed-offs, and they had a Mauser sporting rifle, a 7mm, and they had a Smith & Wesson revolver. I remember all those guns.
Did they ever feel they would need them, or was there any time?
Oh, yeah, well, they took the sawed-offs up to the hydraulics, into the cuts when they were cleaning up in the hydraulic mines. See, they were a big hydraulic outfit. They did all that hydraulicking on Bonanza, all those hills.
Yeah.
And they'd take them up there when they were cleaning up, see.
And they'd have guards there, would they, with these sawed-offs?
Well, they had fellows with the sawed-offs anyway. And they had them in the gold room, I guess, in between times when they were melting gold and so on.
Wow.
They were robbed once, you know.
Were they? Was it a fair robbery?
Yeah. I think they figured they lost 30 or 40,000.
For goodness sake. When
that
was
on Lovett Gulch on the hydraulics.
Oh. Yeah. Did they ever catch up with the bandits?
No, they committed the perfect crime. I've often heard my dad speak of it.
When was that? Do you remember?
I don't know what year. It was pretty early because I remember my mother saying many times that we lived in the south end of town there up in that hill above Hamilton's, and she said she wondered what was going on. My dad had gone to work, and she said she seen the red coats. They all wore red coats then, the police,
all
the mounted police.
Oh, yeah.
There were several of them went galloping up the road full, pell-mell, galloping all out, and she said she knew something was afoot. And then the manager, Chester Thomas, she seen him going up like the wind. He had the first car that was ever in here, I think. Well, that was the morning of the robbery.
Well.
It was late in the fall, I think, in October, late in September, and they were due to clean up on Lovett Gulch in this sluice either the following day or the day after. And they always figured it was somebody on the inside that knew, see. They timed
it all the time.
But anyways, the nights were dark, and there were three or four men on this special end of the cut there, and they were hydraulicking this night, and there was a couple fellows came along, and they stuck guns in their faces, and they told them to lie down. They tied them up, helpless, and gagged them.
Okay.
And They darn near froze before morning, before the morning shift come on. But anyways, these fellows could see what they were doing. They didn't blindfold them, I guess it was dark, but they could see. And they'd come along with a horse and a buckboard. And they lifted the rifles for the first, I don't know, probably 10 or 20 feet where the best of the gold is at the head of the sluice.
Mm-hmm.
And they shoveled all this concentrate into heavy burlap sacks, gunny sacks or something. There'd be quite a few hundred pounds, see. Hey. That was very rich.
How many were there? Just the two of them?
Two of them, I think.
Gosh.
And away they went. And they tracked them. The police were summoned. That's when they went up. And they tracked them down to the foot of Lovett. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of mud there from the hydraulics.
Mm-hmm.
And they tracked them across it, and they headed for the hillside. They lost their tracks then.
Is that so?
They figured they had had a pack horse or two, and probably loaded it on and crossed over the hill and over the ridges and went down the Yukon slope, and they might have had a boat there.
Mm-hmm.
And then went down to the lower country, into Alaska with it. But they never caught.
Well, these two guns that you have, are those the ones that were there for your father to use in case he needed
them? Yeah, and for anybody to use that had used for them.
Oh, and where had they been all these years then?
They were at Bear Creek.
Were they?
They had bought the Googies out.
Oh, yeah.
I had never known they were there until this winter.
And now you have them.
I have now.
Oh, for goodness sakes. It's just fascinating, you know, to think. Now, is your father buried up here?
Yeah, both my father and mother.
Are they?
They're buried in the Pioneer Cemetery here.
Oh, I see. Was he a pioneer then?
Yeah, he belonged to the pioneers.
Well, and are there pictures of him down in the Pioneer Hall? There are no pictures of your grandfather. Was he a pioneer?
Isn't there a picture of my grandfather? I thought there was. Oh, yeah, he was a pioneer.
Oh, maybe there is now. That's right, too.
I'm sure.
I hope they're getting those all downstairs for this summer, you know, for the season.
I'm sure they had a picture in there.
Now, your own little museum, where does that stuff come from? From your home?
Yeah, different places like that. You know.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the things my dad had. Just items that were collected through the years, you might say.
Well, then when you lived on the creek, did you go to school at Grand Forks?
No. See, they moved to Dawson. My sister was on the creek in her earlier years.
Was she?
She's 3.5 years older than I am.
Oh.
But they just moved in before I was born.
So you were born here and spent all your life here then?
We lived up there in that place above Hanulik's. Of course, that cabin was okay then, but it's all tumbled down now.
Mm-hmm.
Until I was 6 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And then we moved to Googieville. We lived there until 1936. And then moved into Dawson's.
Was it you who was telling me about that man that used to wear the stocking hat and the derby. What was his name? Rotten Egg somebody, rather?
Oh, there was a Rotten Egg Julius. I've often heard my dad talk of.
And he actually delivered vegetables, did he, up the Klondike, was it?
Yeah, he used to push a push cart right up to the Grand Forks.
Well, that'd all be about 15 miles, wouldn't it?
Oh, sure.
A little two-wheel cart. What would he have on
the
board?
The roads wound up around the hillsides then. No, he would, honestly. My dad said he'd take a load of rotten fruit up there.
It would look good
and
anyway.
He'd sell what he could, and then if some of it was too rotten to sell, he'd push it all the way back.
Make jam out of it.
He wouldn't throw it away.
Well, where did he get the name? Was it Rotten Egg that they called
Rotten
it?
Egg Julius, yeah. He dealt, I guess, in rotten eggs too, probably.
Wow, and he pushed this cart of stuff up there and
all
sold it.
All the way to the Grand Forks, yeah.
Well, what was this headgear that you hear about?
I didn't hear anything about his headgear.
Oh, I think it was Mrs. Scott talking about him wearing
Mrs. Scott would know.
A long stocking hat and a derby on the top.
She'd probably know.
Well, for heaven's sake, but it's just wonderful, you know, when you think of the people that have gone through here. And wasn't there a woman undertaker or something here?
Gee, I don't know. That is something I haven't heard about.
I was going to
Could have been, though. That's something I can't tell you about. It's a lady undertaker. I never came to grips
with
her.
I'll have to check on that. Well, then you've seen most of the town practically torn down in Heavy Chester. I mean,
of course, I guess it was on the downgrade when I remember. You know, pretty late when I remember, but I can remember an awful lot of it torn down.
Mm-hmm. Well, like Apple Jimmy's and those places.
Yeah, Apple Jimmy, Fightin' Jimmy, Fightin' Taylor, and all those characters.
Those were they all in business here?
Well, no, they just They were fighters. They weren't professional fighters. They were just troublemakers. There was Fighting Jimmy and Fighting Taylor. And Apple Jimmy.
Yeah.
Yellowstone Red. Did you ever hear him?
No.
He was quite a character.
Yellowstone Red.
Mrs. Scott would remember him. I'm sure she would. Walter
maybe
Scott.
She would, yeah.
My dad and Walter were great friends.
Or were they?
Say, wasn't Walter's dad supposed to be with the 7th Cavalry in the Custer Massacre or something? Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yes, he was an orderly at the hospital or something. Or he was in the hospital when
did he lose his life or not?
No, he was in the hospital when it happened.
Oh.
For some reason or other, he wasn't out with them.
Lucky he wasn't out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember Walter mentioning that. But then, there aren't too many of you that actually are around now that knew your grandfather, are there?
I guess not too many. Monty Bulge knew him in the early years, yeah.
Oh, did he talk with him quite a bit?
Oh, yeah, they were well acquainted. Monty Bulge was up to Stewart at those times or somewhere. And Ira Van Bibber and him were great friends. From up in the Pelly River country.
Oh. They didn't come in together, though?
No, but they were good friends.
Oh, I see.
You have met Ira Van Bibber,
No,
guess.
I haven't. No, I've heard of him for years, but I don't
too
actually
bad you couldn't meet him. He's one of the real old-timers.
That's all. But I just wondered, you know, what he felt like when he... now, Ogilvy gives that account of talking with him shortly after it happened, and I suppose that's about as accurate account as any, isn't it?
I guess it would kind of... dazzle him, you know. It wouldn't be very nice. But I guess he figured, well, it's over and gone with, and he probably... But it would be quite a blow, you know.
I wonder how much money Carmax actually took out of there.
I don't know.
It was all in one spot, just about there at the big...
I guess he was pretty rich there, all right.
Gosh.
But I've never heard what he took out. Probably nobody even knows exactly. But there should be a rough... record of it.
Yes, I suppose so. Well, then the berries and all those bunch fisticators?
Yeah, the fisticator is mentioned in this book that my uncle...
Oh.
He tells when fisticator came into the country.
Well, your uncle came in too, this Captain Henry, did he?
Well, he was on the river off and on all the time.
Oh, was he already here and your grandfather came in?
Oh, yeah, he was in the real early days.
Oh, was he?
He was down 40 Mile.
Oh, but he was more of a river man than a prospector,
yeah,
was he?
Yeah, he was on the river. Oh. Pilot. Scow man.
Oh.
He ran scows. That was his business.
And then he wrote this book then, did he?
Yeah, he just wrote this little summary, you might
good
say.
Good for him.
I think you'll see a few things in there that might be interesting.
Oh, well, I'd sure like to look through if I could have it for a day
or
two then.
Yeah, keep it.
Okay, and I'll copy it out. Well, as I said before, you know, it's a pity not to have some member of the family on record, because here's so many fantastic yarns, and I just find it sort of fascinating,
well,
just to hear this.
Honestly, I think everything that you have put down is pretty accurate that I have ever heard you quoting or anything. Pierre Burton, he has made some mistakes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not belittling Pierre or anything,
no.
But there are some things that aren't quite right.
No,
I know
bestseller.
That.
Yeah. You went to school with him, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's written some hooey, you know. But he's made a great success in his writing. I shouldn't be condemning.
No, I've heard that before, too.
But it's not all accurate, for sure.